The scripture reading comes from John chapter 7, verse 24. John chapter 7, verse 24. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Well, good evening, everyone. I'm always thankful for these opportunities that I have to be before you, and I thank Rob for that scripture reading. You know, going through school, there was, and I actually had to do a little research on this, but whenever I went to school, they have, you know, programs in the school to try to lead kids away from drugs and alcohol and those things. And I remember in my class, there was a saying, just say no. And actually, that was started by Nancy Reagan in the 1980s. And what I found interesting about that is I found out in my school, I was born in 1993, so that puts me in school, you know. But when I did my research, it said Nancy Reagan's program kind of went through the 80s to the early 90s, but I remember in school very, very vividly, that was something that was very pushed. Just say no, you know. I wish that would have caught on maybe in many places in our country. There's probably many things in our country as we look around. There's things that we should just say no to. In our own lives and in the lives of our friends and family, there's probably many things that we can learn just from those few words, just say no. But it seems like that word, no, has become very unpopular. It's become very unpopular in our society, an idea that has been rejected in many respects. You can't say no to anything, and you can't say no to anyone, and certainly you can't redirect, correct, or make any constructive criticism. You know, when I look around, I do fear for my daughter. In many respects, as probably most parents do. But, you know, I fear as I look out at the society and I start to see what I see, and maybe you see it as well, is a deterioration of the society that won't say no to anything. I came across an interview, and I'll try to summarize the interview as best I can, but I just want to imagine me interviewing, okay? This gentleman was interviewing on a college campus just recently, just a couple years ago, and he had some questions that he asked those people on those college campus, and his questions were interesting, and his responses were probably more interesting. But I'd like you to visualize me asking these questions, because I think it's going to help you give a picture, because it's very important in relation to the questions he asked. The first question he asked, just imagine me asking these questions on a college campus. The first question he asked, he says, do you think that people should have the ability to choose the bathroom that they would like to go to? Here are some of the responses he received. Says, yes, I think they should be able to choose which bathroom that they should be able to go into. Another said, they should have the ability to choose. Another said, colleges should accommodate them and allow them to make the choice that they feel is right for them. Another one says, it doesn't matter what sex you are at birth, but you can choose. That was his first question he asked. His next question, he continued on, he said, what if I said, remember, I'm asking these questions to a college campus, you know, 5'10", Caucasian. He says, what if I said I was a woman? What would your response be to that? And here are some of the responses. Some individual said, good for you. Another said, nice to meet you. Another said, no problem at all. Another said, no issue at all. The next question was even a little bit more interesting. The next question he says, what if I said I was Chinese? Now remember, picture me asking these questions. He said, what if I said I was Chinese? And here are some of the responses he received. One said, well, I'd be a little bit surprised, but good for you. Another said, well, I would have to think that you would have Chinese somewhere in your ancestry, but there's nothing wrong with you saying that. Another said, if you feel that way in your heart, I guess that's good for you. The next question he asked, he said, what if I said I was 7 years old? Well, one said, I wouldn't believe that immediately, but if you really felt that or you believed that, that would be okay. Another said, I wouldn't say that you're wrong. Another said, if you feel that way in your heart, I guess that's fine. Well, the questions continue on. This gentleman, 5'10", you know, probably in his 20s, the next question he asked, he says, what if I wanted to enroll in a fifth grade class? How would you feel about that? And one person went, probably not. Another individual said, well, if you feel like mentally like that's your place, I guess I'd be fine with that. Another said, well, as long as you're not hurting anyone, that's okay. One of his last questions was, what about a 6'5"? Remember, this is someone who's 5'10". You know, this person is not 6'5". He said, what if I told you I was 6'5"? And the person said, well, I would question why you would say that. Another said, well, I truly believe that you say you're 6'5", that's fine. Well, it's not harmful to anyone. Another said, well, I don't think it's my place to tell you whether that's wrong or right. Another says, well, no, I wouldn't say you're wrong. And what he did for his last question, he kind of combined all these questions together. Remember, he asked about bathroom, he asked about being a woman, whether he was 6'5", whether he was Chinese. The last question he asked was, what if I was a 6'5 Chinese woman? Now remember, this person is, you know, 5'10", white, all these things, and this is the last question he asked, and they just stare at him. But really, isn't that the natural conclusion to all of the questions? A lot of saying, that's okay that you say you're Chinese, that's okay that you say you're 6'5", that's okay that you say you're 7 years old, that's okay that you want to enroll in a 5th grade class, all that's okay, all that's fine. He says, okay, would you say I'm a 6'5 Chinese woman even though I'm white, 5'10", and all these things? Do we really know what's going on in our country? Do we really know what's going on with our youth? Do we really know what's going on college campuses? Because these were responses that I got right from the interview. It's interesting what people won't say no to, isn't it? People just won't say no. People won't say no. It's like a word that has been rejected. And what we need to look at this evening, is it okay for Christians to say no? Is it all right for us to say no? And I think it is when we look at the Bible. However, our society is pushing back very hard into this idea that everyone's okay, everyone's all right, and we can't tell anyone that they're wrong. But certainly that's not an idea we find in the Bible. In Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 1 and 2, it said, if there's a dispute between two men, and they come to court, that the judges may judge them, and they justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. You know, have you heard of that thing called court? I mean, don't we have a place on this earth that dictates right and wrong? But certainly there's a more important place than any physical judgment, but the everlasting judgment. But it seems like our court system and the way we handle things is deteriorating before our eyes, and it seems like we're not allowed to judge anyone. In particular, saying that something's either right or wrong. See, I think it's okay for us to make judgment calls. I cannot pronounce everlasting judgment on anyone. That's not my job, and I could never do that. God is the one that will do that. God on judgment day will say, you're okay, you're not okay, based off his criteria. But if we throughout this life can never say, this is right and this is wrong, we've got a big call on our hands. Because what it leads to is we have someone who's on a college campus who's 5'10 and white, and people are saying, it's alright if you say you're 6'5 Chinese and a woman. Is that how far we've come? That we cannot distinguish between right and wrong. The Bible tells us that we can make judgments, but it tells us to be careful when we make judgments. Our reading this evening was John chapter 7 and verse 24. John chapter 7 verse 24, it says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Well, what could that righteous judgment mean? That could be based on the Word of God. Of course, our whole society, where's their favorite passage of turn? Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 verses 1 through 5, judge not, that you may not judge. Well, what's he really talking about in the context? Well, let's read on. It says, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in my own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you can see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. What it's talking about here is hypocritical judgment. If I say, you know what, you really need to give up drinking, but then I'm drinking, you know, all the time on the weekends. A hypocritical judgment. It says by the standard which you judge, it'll be judged back to you. I'm not using my own standards. I'm trying to go by the words of God. If I can show in the Bible where God says something's wrong, that's not me, that's God. But see, we shy away from that. It's not me, it's God. When I talk to people now, I try to find book, chapter, and verse. I just try to open it to them, have them read it for themselves, because I'm like, it's not me. It's not me. It's God. And when God comes back and he makes judgment on things that are absolutely right and those things that are absolutely wrong, where will you stand? But see, our society's trying to make it so murky. They're trying to make it so foggy, where we can't decide what right is and where we can't decide what wrong is, and certainly we can't tell anyone no. Our society just seems to be at a place where it just can't say no. What's interesting is it's a society where you just can't say no. But see, we're not always the best judges when it comes to morality. When we look at humans over the course of time, we have changed our decisions on all kinds of things, all kinds of issues. We change again and again and again and again on all kinds of issues. Just look at the laws of the land. Look at the laws when you were children, and look at the laws now. Look how they've changed. We've changed our minds. You know what doesn't change? The words of God. The words of God never change. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. A lot of people are saying, I'm going to take my own path on this. I'm not going to trust the Bible. I'm not going to trust the word of God. I'm going to go my own way. No one's going to tell me no. And they do what seems right to them, but the way is the end of that way is death. You know, we've got a lot of people in our society, they say, don't judge, don't judge. And what I found about those people is they're the biggest judges of all time. They'll certainly come after me. They'll certainly say all kinds of things about my life, the things that I've said, the things that I've done throughout my life. They'll say, don't judge, don't judge, don't judge. If you're talking about me, but if I'm talking about you, it's okay. I can point out all the things in your past, Kyle. I can point out all the things that you've done. I can point out all the mistakes you've made. But when it comes to that, don't touch me. Don't touch my past. Can we determine what right and wrong is upon this earth? In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, I think it certainly gives us that idea. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Certainly there's a right way and there's a wrong way. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And we have to be diligent to make sure that we know where our yeses should be, and we should know where our noes should be as we go throughout this life. But our society, they're trying to dictate to us when we should say yes and when we should say no. You know, our society is trying to teach our young people, and really ourselves, you know, sex outside of marriage, that's fine. That's what our society is trying to tell our kids and our grandkids. They're trying to say, yes, yes, that's totally okay. When it comes to drinking, what are they saying? Oh, yeah, socially, it's great. Just go out socially. It's not a big deal. As long as you don't get drunk, it's okay. Our society is trying to tell us, say yes to all these things, but when are we going to say no? Are we going to ever say no? Are we going to let the society keep influencing ourselves, not only ourselves, but our children? We've got to say no to some things in this life, don't we? In Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 through 20, it talks about false teachers. How in the world are we going to know what a false teacher is if we don't know what right and wrong is? And how are we going to know how to distinguish a false teacher? How are we going to know a false teacher? How do we know whether to say yes to someone or no to someone? You know, as I traveled around, it was pretty interesting because a lot of times when I travel places, I mean, people would try to recommend me, but a lot of times people would put me under the magnifying glass. They said, you better check this guy out. And I'm fine with that. That's what you should do. You should mark everybody by the book and make sure they're matching up with the teachings of the Bible. But do you match up with what the Bible says? Do you say yes when the Bible says yes, and do you say no when the Bible says no? Do we do it correctly when it comes to false teachers? But see, our society, the way that they kind of look at it, there is no false teachers out there. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20, it says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruit you will know them. We've got to make this life complicated, but I think if I took you outside and I showed you a fruit, a strange fruit, an apple, where would you say that apple came from? Well, an apple tree. Wouldn't that make sense? I don't think anyone would say, you know where that pear came from? That pear came from the pear tree. You know where good teaching comes from? Good teaching comes from good teachers. You know where bad teaching comes from? It comes from bad teachers. But our society goes around and says, well, this is an apple, but you know, it looks like it might go on that pear tree.
What are we doing? We try to overcomplicate things. Good is good, bad is bad. We've got to look at the Word of God, study it diligently, and rightly divide it.
But our society says not possible. We can't know that an apple comes from an apple tree.
We cannot know that a pear comes from a pear tree. That's just too confusing and too hard. If it doesn't come from the book, it's a problem.
If it comes from the book, say yes. Unfortunately, our world won't do the same. Is that they'll try to take a little bit of the world, put it into the book, take a little out of the book, put something in, and try to make their own way. But are you inspecting the fruit? Are you inspecting the works of those that are around you? Can we say no in the right situations in our life? We better, because what's happening is because we don't say no, because we don't stand up, things are happening around us. Things are happening to the people around us. People are being lost because we just won't simply say, no, that is not right.
Well, why is it not right? Well, it's not right according to the words of God.
So many people don't want to be told they're wrong, and so many people don't want to be in a situation where they have to tell someone that they're wrong. And we're in a place where, you know, what happens to our world when we just won't say no? Well, there's a lot of things going on in our country, some that might surprise you. Not that I have everything. But you know, the man that first proposed the bill, one of the first bills, of course it goes state by state for a while, but one of the men that proposed the first bill to make it so that you could go into the bathroom of your choice, did you know that that man was a convicted child molester?
The guy that proposed the bill that says, you know what, you should be able to choose what bathroom you want to go into, he was a convicted child molester. Can we just say no?
Now we look around, there's all kinds of things that are happening. We have people going against basic biology, and it's a hot topic that no one wants to talk about, but we've got people just denying basic biology. You know, do we read Genesis? What did God make them, male and female? You know what New York says? New York says there's 29 some things that you can identify as, but they found out that that wasn't politically correct enough. They said you can do whatever you want. If you want to identify as a girl, that's fine. If you want to identify as a male, that's fine. If you want to identify as a dolphin, that's fine. See, they had 29, but 29 wasn't enough. 29 wasn't enough. They had to extend it and just say, hey, whatever you want to identify as, go for it. Can we just say no? Can we just say no? And I think we always say, you know, it can't get worse, it can't go any farther, and yet we wake up the next day and it seems like it went a little farther. Why? Because we just won't say no. I'm not saying that we have control over all things. You know, often I do think about my teaching career and things, but there was a case in the UK, in England, where a teacher knew that this male student was identifying as a female student, and he was very careful that he would just use, you know, they, them, it was, and he was talking the whole class. Well, this one day, this young man, who was identifying as a young girl, fourth grade, I believe, he was in a group of all guys. And he said, good job, guys. They took his job because he didn't use the correct pronoun of his fourth grader. So the fourth grader wanted to be addressed as he. There's a lot of things happening. A lot of things happening that we don't always hear about. I believe there was a gentleman in New Jersey, he was a substitute. A kid asked about the Bible. He gave him the Bible after school. They took away his subbing. I think he actually won his case and he actually got his subbing back. This thing's going around all the time. When we just say no, enough is enough. This thing's going on all across our country. No one likes to be restrained and restricted. Used to be all these types of things. I mean, we just think, the conversations your kids have are not the conversations you had in the school. They're not. I think they said fine. We'll see how much longer that lasts. Who knows? Harvey's got to keep the views down on the Harvey plan. But I don't know. I honestly, brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't know. Because when's the moment going to come where I'm going to have to say no to protect someone, and they say, no, you're not allowed to say no anymore. You're not allowed to say no to that. You're not allowed to say no to that. You're not allowed to say no to that. But the conversations your kids and your grandkids are having are not the conversations that you have. Ask your kids, sit them down and ask them what they think would happen if they brought up the topic of homosexuality in their school. Ask them what they think would happen if they talked about that.
asked them what they think would happen if they talked about transgender things. They asked them what they think would happen. They'd be ostracized. And that's I'm not saying there's part of the Christian life that we have to understand that we're walking on that straight and narrow path, and most people are not going to walk on that straight and narrow path. But I think because we live in the United States, where Christianity and Christian values have been accepted for so long, that even people that didn't necessarily hold the beliefs of Christianity at least held some of the similar moral things that we had, it's not exactly the same anymore. You will be ostracized. You will be rejected. And actually, they might take some cool action against you because you're harassing these people by just saying, you know what, I don't think what you're doing is right. And that's all you have to say. I certainly do fear for the future. And as I look around, there's all kinds of crazy things that are going happening all around. There's a Baptist transgender preacher in St. Louis. A Baptist transgender preacher in St. Louis. It's like, okay, can't we just give it up, okay? You're going against the Bible in so many ways. Can't we just give it up, say, you know what, we're not going to preach, we're not going to teach, you know, we're not going to go to church. But the people are. They're molding anything that they want, and it's happening all around us because people just won't say no. What happens when we don't say no? Craziness happens. And I'm not saying that we can change everything. We can control ourselves. We can't control everything in this life, but we can certainly try. But we look back in Genesis and Sodom and Gomorrah and some of the things that are happening in that situation, I think people look back at that and like, we'd never go back to a situation like that. It's all a cycle. As you read the Old Testament, what happens? People turn to God, and you know what happens? They reject God. And what happens? They get involved in all these sinful activities, and the society collapses. Why does the society collapse? Because, you know what, when you have liars, cheaters, people that don't respect others, people that don't love others, people that take what they want at any time, any society collapses. When you turn away from God, God doesn't even have to step in. You'll kill yourself. You'll destroy yourself. No society can function with people that don't respect each other, that people that lie to one another, people that steal from one another, people that don't care about the laws of the land. It just collapses. We see it with Israel time and time again. They collapse, and then they turn back to God. They collapse, and then they turn back to God. Over and over and over again. And I think many people think that we are on this moral upswing. Oh, we're just getting better and better and better every day, you know? It's cyclical. It's up and down. People turn to God, people turn away from God. People turn to God, people turn away from God. And you know when they turn back to God? It's in those low points. At the worst possible times when there's lying and all kinds of immorality. But it seems like many times there's no sense of right and wrong. People don't want to accept the standard of right and wrong. You know, everything is right unless you disagree with that idea. Everything's right, everything's okay, unless you disagree with the idea that everything's right. Then I disagree with you. But everything's right, everything's okay, unless you don't think that everything's right and everything's okay. Then I'm coming after you because you should think that everything's right and okay. There's all kinds of things that are going on. And Malachi chapter 2 and verse 17. I think it's interesting what the Bible says there. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 17. It says, you have wearied the Lord with your words. You've wearied the Lord with your words. It says, yet you say, in what way have we wearied him? So the Lord is weary, and they say, why have we wearied the Lord? Well, the Bible continues on. It says, in that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. You know why you're wearying the Lord? Why these people were wearying the Lord in Malachi? It's because they were saying, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord. Doesn't that sound like a lot of our situation here? No one can do anything bad. Everyone's doing evil things, bad things, things that are not in right in accordance to God's word. And people say, they're right in the sight of God. They're right in the sight of God. You can do all those things and you can be right in the sight of God. You can do this and say this prayer and you'll be right in the sight of God. You can lay your hand on the radio and you'll be right in the sight of God. You can go out and drink and party and do all these things and you'll be right in the sight of God. You can go out and you can steal from your neighbor and you'll be right in the sight of God. Just on and on and on. Where people just won't simply say no. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, God gives off this big list. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulteresses, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. You know, when I read that when I was younger, I think it's kind of changed over these past few years in my eyes. The reason it's changed is because the way it starts. It says, do not be deceived. You know, you think about the big, long list of all these things that if people do, they'll not inherit the kingdom of God. And you know where this society is going? They take things right off God's list, and they say, you know what, it's okay to do that, and you'll still make it to heaven. Drunkards! Adultery! Fornication! We have people running around in our society saying, yeah, that's okay! Saying yes! And we got it from God's list. We have people running around our society saying yes to all these things on this list. Oh, homosexuality, idolatry, fornication, adultery, all these things. Drunkards, covetousness, all those things are okay. What are you talking about, Kyle? Do not be deceived. We have people identifying in our country as all kinds of different things. We have people who will identify as the opposite sex. They're male, but they'll identify as a female. We have actually people that are now trans-based. I don't know if you've heard this, but this is people identifying as a different age than themselves. Oh, wouldn't that be nice? You know, someone 60, that they say, you know what? Today, I really feel like I'm 40. Yeah. Trans-age is something that's become very popular. Well, let me tell you how extreme this has gotten. We have a 40-year-old guy who says, you know what? I feel like I'm 13. And they've admitted him into school. A 40-year-old guy. Everyone knows he's 40. He can't hide 40. I can't hide 50. I can't. Once you get up there, you just can't hide it. You know, you can only hide for so long. You know, it's going to get you. It's going to catch us all. But he says, you know what? I feel 13. You know, I'm 13. I'm going to identify as 13. We've got people who are identifying their sex. We have people identifying their age. We have people identifying their race. They said, you know what? I feel like I'm Chinese today. You know what? I feel like I'm African American. And we know that race doesn't matter. The Lord sees us all the same, those that do the will of God. But you know what? You know, when we got people that are that crazy that say, you know what? I know I'm this. And they just, we have people that are saying they're different sexes, different ages, different races. There's actually this thing here that's caught on. It's called trans-able. It's people who are born and they say, you know what? I should have been born blind. So you know what they do? They burn out their eyes. It's true. You think I'm making it up, don't you? You think I'm making it up? We can't say no. There's people in Canada who have now said, you know what, I should have been crippled. So they'll schedule a surgery to get their spine cut so that they can live on government assistance as a crippled person. Can we just say no? How much farther are we going to go? How much longer are we going to say, yeah, that's okay, yeah, that's okay, yeah, that's okay? You think I'm making it up? Please look it up. People are trans everything now. You want to be an animal? Be an animal. People are just doing what's right in their own eyes. You know, I thought with all these people identifying as different things, I thought, a gentleman once said, and I thought it was pretty funny, he said, oh, with all these people identifying as all these different things, he says, I'm going to identify as the richest person in the bank. You know, walk in, saying, hey, yeah, I'm the guy that's the richest guy. Yeah, don't you know me? I'm going to identify as him today. I'd like to withdraw all my funds. It's a scary. And you know what I think about the future? I think of the future of our kids, our grandkids, and all these things. And I think the world goes through cycles. There's rough times, and there's times where people turn to God. But it certainly, it looks like people are slowly but surely turning away from God. Will Christians just say no? Because if we don't say no now, what it does is it trickles down to the generations behind us. It trickles down to our kids and our grandkids that when they decide they're going to say no, because we wouldn't say no, because we wouldn't stand up and do the best that we could. I'm not saying we can control all things, but because we wouldn't stand up and say no, when our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids, when they stand up and say no, you know what's going to happen? Torture them. Kill them. Don't think it'll happen? It's happened all through history. Because we won't say no. We won't say no. We have generations on our hands. Generations keep coming and going. Will they understand what right and wrong is? How are they going to know that? It's only if we teach. They got to know the difference between the light and the darkness. How are they going to know? We've got to teach them. In Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, when all the generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them that did not know God, nor the work which he had done for Israel. What happened in Judges chapter 2 and verse 10?
the people that were following God, they died. The next generation came, they didn't know God. They didn't know right and wrong. They didn't know what God did for Israel. It's a scary thing. We have to make sure that we're studying. We have to make sure that we're teaching. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14 talks about taking the milk, but then after the milk, we take the solid food. And it says that we should be able to exercise to discern between good and evil in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. The ability to discern between good and evil. But what we're doing is we're negotiating with morality now in our society. Well, let me give you an example. See, it used to be, probably, there's probably some people in this room, you know, the standard was, you don't have sex outside of marriage. You know what the standard is now? Well, you know what? They're probably going to have sex outside of marriage, so we're just going to teach them how to have safe sex. And that's what's going on in the schools. I know, because I see it. They bring someone in from the state, and the person just come in from the state says, you know what? I know you guys are probably having sex. Some of you probably already are. You know what? What you need to do is you need to make sure you have safe sex. We're negotiating. We're not saying, you know what? Keep sex outside, keep sex only in the confines of marriage. What we're saying is, you probably have sex anyway, so well, you know what we'll do is we'll just negotiate. We'll say, here's how you're going to have safe sex. Well, what are some other examples, Kyle? Well, you know, we can't stop them from doing drugs, so you know what we're going to do? We're going to make sure that they have clean needles. And you know what? We're going to make it legal. That's what we're going to do. Since they're doing drugs, and we can't stop them from doing drugs, you know what? They're going to do it anyways. We'll negotiate with them. We'll make sure they have clean needles, and we'll make sure that we make it legal. We're negotiating morality. We're negotiating down and down and down and down. Where God says, stop here. We have went way past the line and we say, it's okay. We'll keep going and going and going. And we'll destroy ourselves. Can we just say no? Can we just say no for ourselves? Can we just say no for our families? Can we just say no for our communities? Can we say no for our country? Or are we too afraid to say no? Certainly God has no allegiance to sin. In James chapter 4, verse 4, it says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. God is no friend of sin. God is no friend of wrong. And when judgment day comes, he will make that absolutely clear. He will show you where you should have said yes. And he'll show you, maybe more importantly, where you should have said no. Can we just say no, brothers and sisters in Christ? Can we serve God and go to His Word for guidance? Because our society is going to a point where they're encouraging us that, you know, no is not the answer. No is not the answer. Brothers and sisters in Christ, just say no to the things that God wants us to say no to. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian tonight. You certainly do not want to say no to God. Because if you don't say yes to God throughout your life on the physical plane, you will not get another chance. And throughout eternity, you'll wish that you could have changed their answer. That's one of my greatest fears, is that when it comes, when Jesus comes back or when I die, that I am not prepared, that I am not ready, and that I will regret that simple choice of just saying, yes, Lord, I will follow you. In order to do that, you need to hear the gospel, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. You need to believe it, repent, confess, and be baptized. Then live a faithful life to Him. Saying yes when you should say yes, and saying no when you should say no. And trying to get His Word into our heads to change our lives in the ways that it can. If you need to become a New Testament Christian, but we need to serve the church, we ask you to please come as we stand as we sing.